Well, let's pray together now as we come to reflect on God's word with one another. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning that wherever we are, we can hear your voice as we open the scriptures and know that you're speaking to us by your Spirit. And so, Father, we pray that as we do that this morning, you would show us more of yourself, that you would draw us near to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this all for his sake. Amen. Well, we've heard a lot on our news this week, stories about suffering and death. And I guess one that you might have missed amidst all the coronavirus reporting was the passing of Dr. Catherine Hamlin. She died in her home in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, age 96. And Dr. Hamlin, she was an Australian Christian missionary doctor, and she devoted her life to helping over 60,000 women in Ethiopia. These women suffered a condition known as obstetric fistula, and it was something they experienced during childbirth and yet left them completely ostracized from their communities and from their families and in a great situation of need. And they were treated by many as kind of modern-day lepers. Well, Catherine Hamlin, what she did was she set up a hospital that would provide free operations to heal them from this condition and give these women their lives back. And she leaves behind a tremendous legacy, a life that honoured Christ by loving others. See, while our world battles this coronavirus and the trail of destruction that it's leaving around the globe, here we have a woman in Dr. Hamlin who is familiar with suffering, human suffering, sometimes at its worst, and yet who saw it as an opportunity to do good, an opportunity to love others, to help the needy and vulnerable, all in the name of Christ. And her example is a great place for us to start this morning. As we spend some time now reflecting on that Bible passage that David read to us from Hebrews chapter 10. And what we're going to be doing, our theme for this morning is to consider what does it look like for us as a church to walk through this COVID-19 crisis together with God. We want to walk through it together with God. Now, as we reflect on that theme this morning, there's three crucial elements that concern living for Jesus that I want us to focus on, and three elements that really need to shape our response to the coronavirus: faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. So firstly, faith. Now, to set the scene here in Hebrews 10, the writer's been talking about Jesus' death on the cross, how it's the once-for-all-time sacrifice to bring us total forgiveness for our sins. And now as we come to verses 19 to 22, we see the amazing effect of that forgiveness on those who put their faith in Jesus. The writer says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Now, there's a lot in there, a lot to kind of keep up with, but I want us to notice the incredible privileges that we now have because of what Jesus has done for us. By faith in him, we can have confidence, it says. Confidence to come into the presence of God with full assurance of his acceptance. Now, that's pretty amazing. Full assurance of his acceptance. Now, the language and imagery here, when it would have been heard by the first century Jewish Christians that it was originally written to, well, their minds would have been cast back to the ancient temple from the Old Testament. And in that temple, there was this elaborate system of animal sacrifice. It was administered by human priests to deal with the huge problem, the universal problem of human sin. See, ordinary people, we can't go into the presence of God. People in this time, they couldn't go into the most holy place in the middle of the temple, because that was where God's presence symbolically dwelt. In fact, not even ordinary priests could go in there. Only the high priest could go in, and even then, only one day of the year, the Day of Atonement. And there was this strict, elaborate system, this ritual that was set out in Leviticus chapter 16 of all the things they had to do to be able to go into that place and make sacrifices for people's sins. But what the writer to the Hebrews is saying is that when Jesus breathed his last, or when that curtain was torn in two, when the inner sanctum was opened up, well, then God was welcoming anyone, whoever you are, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, male or female, young or old, anyone is now welcome into that inner sanctum by this new and living way that God has opened up to anyone with faith in Jesus. Jesus being that ultimate high priest who made the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. And so with that freedom that Jesus gives to his people, the author encourages the Hebrew Christians to draw near to God in verse 22. He's saying to them, he's saying to us, if you've put your faith in Jesus, well then take advantage. Take advantage of the special relationship that's been made available to you with the Maker of the universe. Now at a time like this, when the very foundations of our society are crumbling, I reckon that's a pretty important word that we need to hear as Christians. The word from Hebrews here is draw near to God. Through Jesus, let's confidently enter into his throne room in prayer. Let's give all our burdens to him. Talk to him about what's worrying you. Pray for his powerful intervention to stop this virus and to help those in need. Last week I had this moment, and I'm sure many of us have had these kind of moments over the past few weeks, where I just felt kind of overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by all that was going on, by all the changes that were happening, by all that we had to cope with here at church, and by what I was seeing on the TV more significantly around the world of how people were suffering. And at that time, something that brought me comfort was I saw this playlist that someone had shared online. It's a playlist, you can find it on Spotify, that's put out by the Gospel Coalition, called Comforting Songs for Anxious Hearts. I'll share it later on if you like. And as I was listening to many of the songs on this playlist, my heart was drawn away from my worries, my anxieties, from the worries around us in the world, to the great comfort that we can have from knowing God. And many of these songs were built around the Psalms, the kind of Psalms that we've already been reflecting on this morning. And God used them to minister the gospel to my heart, encouraging me to take my worries to him. As we all face different hardships over the coming months, I want to encourage you, let's draw near to God in faith. And let's spend time in his word. Let's find strength and encouragement and rejoicing in the relationship we have with him, whatever happens in our circumstances. I think we're all pretty familiar now with this whole idea of social distancing, and I expect it's only going to increase. I've seen lots of photos circling around of people trying to make the best of a difficult situation, maybe sitting down across the fence from neighbours with a strict distance apart and sharing a drink together on a Friday afternoon. Saw that happening down at the park as well. And yet we realise that it's not really ideal, that actually as human beings we were made for relationship. It's difficult having to distance ourselves like this. And yet the good news that the writer to the Hebrews is saying here is that there's one relationship, in fact the most significant relationship, where you don't have to social distance like that. Of course I'm talking about our relationship with God. And the writer here is telling us that we can draw near to him. We can draw near into the presence of the most holy God because Jesus' blood has cleansed our hearts. It's cleared us from that guilty conscience. It's washed our bodies with pure water. And that's another experience we're going through right now, isn't it? The experience of washing We're told to do it many times a day. In our house, we've been trying to get our kids to wash for the right period of time, and so we've been doing the happy birthday, sing that together twice. But you know, even 100 times through happy birthday couldn't cleanse our hearts from the bigger sickness of sin, from our rebellion against God that's fractured our relationship with Him, that in our natural state would put a distance, a chasm between us and Him that cannot be crossed. And yet, even though there's nothing on our part that can cure this horrible disease that's isolated us from God, the writer to the Hebrews is saying here that Jesus can. In fact, Jesus has. That Jesus has given us cleansing as a free gift to anyone who trusts in Him. That's the full assurance that faith brings, enabling us to draw near to Him anywhere, anytime, completely confident of His loving embrace. Now, this week I was watching the news, and as the reporter was discussing coronavirus in the context of all the other calamities that have been happening around our world this year, he finished the report by saying, well, 2020 really is shaping up to be the year that God forgot. I thought it was an interesting comment. And yet, even as our suffering tempts us to doubt God's love, even if it can make us feel like He's abandoned us as the human race, well, when we look at these events through the eyes of faith, the eyes of faith in the one who loved me and gave Himself for me, Galatians 2, well, we can't possibly share that conclusion. Yes, we don't have an explanation of what exactly God is doing, why He'd let this kind of tragedy happen, but the cross proves that it's not because He doesn't love us. And that confidence, even in suffering, enables us to still draw near to Him in faith at this time. Now, secondly, to hope. With all the chaos around us, new restrictions changing our everyday lives, constant media attention on the suffering, it's so easy to be thrown into panic, to have our hearts gripped by fear and anxiety. Just have a look at the supermarket shelves. But the writer to the Hebrews encourages Christians that we need to direct our hearts in a different way. He says in verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." Hope is all about positive expectation for the future. And I reckon what this virus has done for many in our society who hold a kind of secular, materialistic worldview, what it's done is to kind of destroy hope, destroy that sense that things are going to go better. Just think of those things that we tend as a society to put our hope in: economic prosperity, our career fulfillment, our health and our long life. Yet in the space of just a few short weeks, coronavirus has shown how fickle it is to put our hope in all those things, because all of a sudden they're under real threat. And that's where we can see the beauty of what Jesus promises to His people: a unique hope that cannot be shaken by any disease, a hope that transcends this world, guaranteeing us life beyond the grave, an eternity that's spent with Him in that renewed world that we all long for, free from sickness and suffering and death. See, that's the positive expectation that as Christians we have for our future. Hope that's eternal because it's grounded in the resurrection. And that's because at the resurrection, Jesus triumphed over sin and death. His cross had defeated it, and He rose to new life so that we could have the confidence of new life as well when we die. That on the last day, He will raise us up. That's what He has promised us. And we know that He will keep His promise because He's faithful, verse 23, because He always keeps His word. And that means we must hold unswervingly to the hope we have in Jesus. Whatever suffering this virus might bring, it can't undermine the eternal hope that we have in Christ. And this hope should not only help sustain us through whatever the coming trials that happen, it's also an opportunity to share our hope with the world. As the people around us become more and more unsettled, more and more aware of our human frailty in the weeks ahead, will we be there, ready to share this hope, this unique hope of life beyond the grave that's found in Jesus alone? Will we seize that opportunity to share hope? Thirdly, love. Because, of course, drawing near to God in faith, holding unswervingly to our hope, well, these things aren't possible to be done by us on our own. The Christian life with the challenges of living in this broken world, well, that's something that God didn't intend us to do on our own. We were supposed to do it together as a community of people, because Christianity, it's not a team, it's not an individual sport, it's a team sport. We were meant to help one another. And that's why we read in verses 24 and 25, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, this is the essence of what church is all about. The people of God prayerfully gathering together around his word to encourage one another, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. See, church isn't about a building. It's not about a ritual. It's not even about just gathering for worship once a week on Sundays. It's first and foremost a community. A community of God's people who've been rescued together by Jesus and who are now called to support one another in love so that we can persevere until that great day of his return. And in the meantime, we're working together, seeking to reach out as a team to help the people around us, to help our world to know Jesus, to share the hope we have, practicing good deeds in our community towards them. That's why we've been saying all week that our church has not closed. Yes, we've stopped meeting together physically, but thanks to the wonders of technology, opportunities abound for us to stay connected to one another, however long the coronavirus prevents us from gathering in the flesh. But it is going to take some effort from each one of us. We're commanded here in verse 25 to not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And while we can't do that physically at the moment, well, we're going to have to get creative. We're going to have to be intentional about using technology to stay in touch. We'll actually have to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Consider how to not give up meeting together through this period of physical separation. The writer warns that some believers in his day have already got into bad habits of skipping church. And this habit of not bothering to meet with other Christians for encouragement, thinking foolishly or maybe out of laziness, that we'll be all fine on our own. But we won't, because following Jesus is tough, and we do need each other. I've got to say, for us, this bad habit of skipping meeting together, of being disconnected from fellow believers, well, it's actually going to be even more difficult to resist in the current situation. The danger of technology is it's way too easy for us to become passive in our approach to church. As the elders met this week and discussed, well, how are we going to cope with this situation, with restrictions on our physical gatherings? That was the real hesitation that we had about moving to online church. If the essence of church is people, if it's about community, if it's about being together for encouragement, well, then it's got to involve way more than us just adding extra content online. There's heaps of great Bible resources out there already, but we need to find ways to connect with one another. And so this live stream, really, it should only be one component of our church life through this COVID-19 crisis. And even then, we want to maximise its opportunities for connection with one another. Now that you're at home with lots of other distractions around you, it'll be tempting on Sunday mornings to just kind of sleep in or think, oh, it's time to mow the lawn, I really need to get that done, or to take the kids to the park. Now, those are all good things and fun things to do. But I want to urge you, be just as committed to this time of Sunday worship as you were beforehand. The same goes for our midweek growth groups as we plan to video conference online. I know it's not quite the same as being together in person. I miss seeing all of you here this morning, having the church full. But we've got to make the best of this situation. Let's make the most of what we do have available to us. And let's use this live stream as a springboard into other ways that we can interact. Please comment, please raise questions if you're following in from Facebook. Maybe you could give someone a call after church and share what God's been teaching you today. After we finish, why not spend a bit of time praying for some of your brothers and sisters here from church? Send them a text so that they know that you've been thinking of them. Send out an email to check how someone's going through the week. Do they need any practical help? Especially want us to be considerate of those from our church who will feel more isolated at this time. I'm thinking of those who live on their own, of the elderly and those with pre-existing sickness that's going to make them more vulnerable to this virus. We really need to be looking out for them at this time. Heather was telling me this week that there's a bunch of ladies from our church who've downloaded this app on their phones called YouVersion Bible. And what they're doing is they've put together a reading program, a Bible reading program on there, and these women from our church are able to keep one another accountable in terms of their reading, and they're also able to share comments of what God has been teaching them. That's another way you can interact. It's been wonderful to watch people using our Facebook group to share Bible verses and different encouragement you've been having at this time. Keep doing that. That's fantastic. In fact, actually, Facebook and our group there could be a wonderful forum for sharing ideas of how we might serve our wider community at this time as well. See, all our current Connect ministries, so all our current ways of reaching out to the community of Tots and Tunes and RI and even the election barbecue for next Saturday, they've had to be cancelled for the moment. So I guess the question that we need to be grappling with as a community is, what are we going to do instead? How are we going to share the love of Christ with our world at this time? And that's what it would look like to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now, those are just a few ideas that I came up with. I'm sure there's heaps of other ways we can think outside the box about connection and encouragement during this period of physical separation. Instead of allowing technology to lead us into the bad habit of not meeting at all, let's use it to develop new habits, good habits of how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds rather than give up meeting together. That should be something that we all want to do because we've experienced the perfect love, the love of God in the Lord Jesus. And it should promote not selfish withdrawing, but looking outwards in love. How can I serve the needs of others? In one of his press conferences a few days ago, our Prime Minister, ScoMo, he used this illustration of a bridge to illustrate where we're at, what's required of our nation to get us through this crisis. As we enter into this period of disruption, he was saying we need to work together. We need to do everything we can to get our nation across to the other side of the bridge safely. Well, I want us to use the same image to think about our church. This next few months, it's not going to be easy. Apart from the personal challenges we're each going to face through this crisis, there's going to be significant disruption to how we function as a church. But I really believe if our response is driven by faith, if it's driven by hope, if it's driven by love, all these things that the gospel promotes in our hearts, as we've seen this morning in Hebrews 10, if it's driven by those things, then as a church, as we seek to walk together with God, this could really be a time where God grows us. Wouldn't it be great if we were able to reflect back and see that as a result of his work in us, by his Spirit, actually we've made it to the other side of that bridge, not weaker in faith, not more disconnected from one another, but instead having stronger, richer relationships with our God through the Lord Jesus and with one another as a church. That'd be a wonderful thing for us to be aiming at. Now, to return to that remarkable woman that I mentioned at the beginning, Dr. Catherine Hamlin, she once wrote in her autobiography about the impact of encountering suffering on her faith in Jesus. And I reckon it's a pretty inspiring way to finish. She said that, "I have sometimes been asked if these tragic cases ever test my faith. I can truly say that if anything, my faith has been strengthened and my soul more firmly anchored to Jesus as the only one to whom we can turn. Jesus never promised us a smooth or trouble-free passage through life. He did promise to be with us, to share the sorrow and the pain." Let me lead us now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful passage in Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you for the great privilege that you give us through faith in Jesus, that we can draw near to you anywhere, anytime, with that clean conscience, with that full assurance that faith brings. And so, Father, we pray that each one of us, whatever we experience in the coming months, would not distance ourselves from you, but would take every opportunity to draw near, that we'd spend the extra time we have at home in your word, that we'd be praying for ourselves and for one another. Father, we pray you'd also fill our hearts with hope, that while we may not have a great expectation for the future in terms of our physical situation, that we'd look beyond this world to Jesus and the hope of life eternal that he alone can offer. Help us to take opportunities to share that wonderful hope with our world. And Father, we pray also that you would give us an attitude of love, that we'd not give up meeting together, that we'd get creative, that you give us wisdom about how we can maximise our opportunities for connection, for encouragement, for spurring one another on toward love and good deeds, that your Spirit would be uniting us together as your community of the people of the Lord Jesus through this time. And we pray these things for his glory alone. Amen.